Welcome to Fickle Juice Podcast with Erin O'Rourke
and Chelsea Byrne.
We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the various lands on which this podcast is recorded on and listened to, and pay respects to all First Nations people.
Dance, storytelling, and other rich cultural practices have existed on these unceded lands for thousands of years.
Hayley Doze is an emerging contemporary dance artist. Their choreographic practice harnesses duration and repetition through live multimedia improvisational collaborations to investigate the body's relationship to places we inhabit. Hello, Hayley. Welcome to Fickle Juice.
Thank you for having me.
Do you want to just talk a little bit about your practice to start, or what you're interested in currently?
Yes, absolutely. I'm really interested in, I trained as a dancer at BCA, and I'm very interested in different modes of presenting the body in space, to live audiences, and within this using somatic-based techniques to explore, the kinesthetic relationships that emerge between the forming bodies in space and the observing bodies in space. I draw a lot. I studied a little bit of Feldenkrais and Alexander and Skinner release technique in my time at uni, and have continued to work with other choreographers such as Arno Schutmacher, that have mind-body practices as like core principles of where movement comes from. I also, during COVID, did further study, as you said, in creative coding, and I'm really interested in the overlaps that occur in how we can apply somatic-based processes to the body, but then also how can these be transferred into other data configurations, and how can you consider an array of mediums, whether it be the body, whether it be coding, whether it be other art forms, how can you apply democratized frameworks for them to function with?
Incredible. Can we take it all the way back now to what led you to start dancing in the first place?
Yeah, my mum danced right up until she was like pregnant with me, and then as a kid, I like grew up watching all of her old ballet videos. And I was allowed to watch like one movie. I was allowed to watch one movie a week, and I would choose to watch like the Royal Ballet's like Giselle or something as a little 3-year-old. So yeah, I've danced, danced in just a very traditional like local ballet school since I was 4 years old. Went through the whole comp kid route circuit until I was 18. And then I auditioned for VCA, and did a Bachelor of Fine Arts in majoring in dance while I was there. Probably the more I've learned about dance as an art form, as I've gotten older, I've moved away from wanting to be seen as a dancer first to be wanting to be seen as an artist first. I'm using dance as a medium I feel most proficient in, to have conversations and propose ideas. So I think as I like evolve into like what it means to be a dancer, I'm more pulling away from that being an identity, and it more just being something that I've done for a really long time. And I have a really strong understanding of myself within, so it's a great vessel for me to have discussions through.
Can you talk a little bit more about that you're seeing dance more as the medium? Yeah, the decision to pull away from identifying as a dancer.
I think that from the point of staying in, the thing that drew me into dancing as a kid, I was a huge perfectionist, and I think I really liked, especially doing a lot of ballet, that being like my main central training, I guess, it was this idea of like striving for these this overarching idea of when I reach this, this is what it means to be a dancer. And that like desperate level of perfection it requires. And then in my university training, moving away from that and having a lot of our training based in other techniques as well, a lot more image based, that worked from like inwards to outwards rather than an outward to inward perspective. And that shifting the way I even strived to look in a dance context, and maybe not worrying as much what I looked like within a dance context. And yeah, as I've like then moved out of that institution and been working on my practice myself, becoming almost disenfranchised or like uninterested in what I look like and more interested in the process to reaching somewhere. So yeah, I think it came from like the way I considered my body as a dancer changed a lot. I wasn't really interested in reaching a level anymore. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, I find it really interesting, this like the notion of, deciding almost to strip away the idea of the dancer and for the artist to emerge instead, and what that means. So thank you for sharing that.
I think it lets you stay interested in something as well, that like over my life has had lots of iterations. It's just another iteration.
And how has this like manifested into your making practice as well, like coming from the point of an artist and using the different forms that you have?
I think that it's given me more permission to not feel like I'm aiming to please other dancers first in the work I make, and then making works that are actively, I'm more conscious of the communities or the groups of people I'm wanting to engage and the questions I'm wanting them to ask, rather than making work that I know will like technically satisfy a group of people with a similar level of training or understanding of technique as I have. I really enjoy working with artists that have like sculptural backgrounds. Recently I've been collaborating with Iona Kant, or Iona McKenzie, and they have a really strong sculptural practice, and it's really interesting to explore how the decisions we make, or like the conversations you can have and the decisions you make in constructing space and the language you have to sift through to find how you can relate to each other in that context. I just really like the collaborations it opens up and the way it makes me rethink what I want to achieve as well.
What is it that you want to achieve?
I think overarching, I want people to watch my works and acknowledge their response to it as the right response. Often when you speak to people about contemporary dance, I guess also I grew up on the Mornington Peninsula, so it's like a very, the insular peninsula, in terms of like access to a litany of like art and culture. It potentially doesn't have much in the contemporary sphere as we do in Melbourne. And a lot of people from my like childhood will watch, even at VCA, would come and watch and be like, oh, I liked it, I don't get it. And you could see them even doubting whether they liked it or not, but they felt like they had to, but they also felt a bit inferior to the work in not being able to comprehend it, quote unquote. So yeah, I like to make work that just gives space for people to walk into and have a reaction to and walk out, having that be what the work was about. So yeah, very like kinesthetic of the body.
Yeah. And that kind of makes sense too, like talking about before, like the framing things as dance, I guess, a little bit, and, you know, being the dancer and what, you know, general population consider when they think, like, what is dance? And then coming in with a particular expectation, and then as an artist, how you, which, I mean, this is part of such a bigger question as well, like how we get audiences in that are going to help sustain the industry, and also educate them in that, yeah, dance or choreographic practice doesn't need to be, you know,
the spectacle.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the idea that it doesn't need to be something they can't do in their own body. You don't need to go and watch people on stage with all these light, with all this lighting, all this costuming, and watch them for 30 minutes do a lot of things that you walk away saying, I couldn't do that, therefore it was good.
Mm, yeah.
And you watch something instead and say, it made me think this, 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 and this, irrespective of what the artist was thinking or the artist thought I would think, this is how my body felt. And creating like more of a back and forth in the like think tank, yeah, through maybe the removal of the spectacle.
And so how do you then, like, I know, I feel like we kind of live in a world where people are, and I'm totally generalizing here, not so much in their bodies, but kind of craving it. Like I was teaching in class not long ago, and a series of classes, and kind of sat down in the first class and was like, okay, why are we all here? And this was a class of university students, and yeah, 9 times out of 10, it was to be more connected to my body and get out of my head a little bit more. And yeah, so how are you facilitating that idea through your work for the audience? Like, how do they get into their body?
I think I see like repetition and duration as really pivotal tools in presenting work, for the reason of if you sit with something for long enough, something will emerge for you. And maybe the thing that emerges is leaving the room and saying it was boring, but you still walked out of the room and you still like owned a reason for leaving.
Yeah.
And there were still choices and actions made in that. You weren't like stuck in a space until it told you it was done. So even that is a relationship or an interplay between ownership of the audience, the audience's ownership.
And they're making like a physical choice for their body to like exit the space.
Yeah. The actionability of how long you observe something for versus how long I'm doing it for. Do you then experience other emotions of like, I'm not enjoying this, but I want to stay for fear of missing out. And then I observe this for long enough and I then discover intricacies that I didn't discover before. It's like when you say the same word over and over again. When you start off saying blue, you know what blue means. You attach a lot of properties to it. And by the end, it can sound entirely foreign. Or it like feels funny in your mouth. Or you have a lot of other experiences that you wouldn't have just from using blue conversationally.
Mm.
And, yeah, to give people time and space to have that. Yeah. I also, I did part of my third year of uni over in Paris as through a subject called Traveling Dance Studios. And I think seeing the way in Montpellier there was a lot of public open air classes, and there would be at one of these classes there would have been at least 100 people of like all ages, all abilities, that were all just out in the street engaging in this public contemporary improvisational practice. And no one asked questions of why we were walking around, like, just holding these pieces of paper at different heights was the gist of it. And no one asked why. Everyone just did it. It went for an hour. And if you had have told me at the start of the class that that's all I was going to do for the length of the class, I would have had a very set idea of, oh, okay, here we go, like, let this hour finish. But I went into it as someone with a dance background, engaging people with and without dance backgrounds. And it was like a level of arts education just through the doing that I haven't experienced in the Australian landscape. And I think that also dictates the work you make in different landscapes. But I'd hope that maybe by making work in, like, this framework that I'm aspiring to, or that I'm doing, it gives an insight into something like that.
Yeah. It kind of makes the mundane, like, performative or something like that, or, like, these simple things just makes you aware of, like, your body. And I think in durational performances like you create, it's like you give the audience agency that they become a performer in their own right sometimes. Like, they're in the space with you and they have to make these decisions and become aware of how they're interacting and how and when they want to leave and when they want to come in.
Yeah, the current work I'm doing is, like, my actions are based off my heart rate, and I have wearing, like, a heart rate monitor that's, like, feeding back information, and different heart rates then, like, are instruction for me to do different things. And that's something that's so – if you're in the room, you have a heart rate. Like, how can – someone else walk in, view that, do they then become more aware of their heart rate? And then does that, like, slow their heart rate down, or does that speed their heart rate up? Maybe they're not even watching me that much in the space. Maybe they're paying more attention to themselves. And then, yeah, their observation of their heart rate becomes more of the performance than what I'm actually doing anyways.
Yeah, it becomes a totally different experience for every person that walks in.
Yeah. And there isn't a right or wrong. There isn't, like, a huge thematical journey I'm aiming to take you on.
Would you say that, or rather, like, what would you consider to be, like, the underlying motivation for your work and your practice?
I didn't realize this until I was writing like a little blurb, I guess, for what we're doing for Take 22. And I realized that a lot of, in year 11 and 12 at school, I studied BCA philosophy, and I had a great philosophy teacher. And I went to a very conservative school, and all of a sudden I had this teacher that would let me ask really abrasive questions about, like, the mind-body complex. And I think that a lot of the works I make in that, that's a really core piece of interest for me. And I'm often grappling with how I position my mind in relation to my body, and where I, each time I'm deciding where that line is. And I'm often assigning something as the body and something as the mind, which I also then think led into my interest of coding. If you insert this third element that's very prevalent in daily society as well, and you can extract data from your body to feed into this third party organism to then feed back into your body, are you bypassing the mind, or is the body, is the body becoming irrelevant? Is it a third thing? Have you created, like, a little fetus? But, I don't know. But yeah, I think a lot of the time it's this duality that's at play internally and the internal to the external.
Mm.
Has there ever been a period throughout your career so far that you've felt like doubt as to why you're pursuing an artistic career? Like, have you ever had the thought to like step away from the arts?
Right now? I think a part of the reason why I've definitely shifted away from seeing myself as the dancer to seeing myself as an artist is dancing, something I've done since I was 4 years old.
Mm.
And I've probably trained over 20 hours a week since I was around 10 to 12 years old. And most people do a career or a job for 10, 15 years and move on to something else.
Hayley's ready to retire.
Yeah.
She's done.
I've reached my point. But it's something is so intrinsically a part of me, and I've grown up around it. I don't go a day without having a little boogie. But to stay interested in it, I did need the shift of repositioning myself of I'm not limited to being a dancer, and I'm not a dancer, I'm Hayley, and I can do lots of other things, and I can also dance. And I think the great thing about working in the arts is the autonomy you have to choose to come and go a little bit more if you want to. It definitely depends on what type of goals you have for your career. But to be able to move around and travel and make relevant what parts of that you want to contribute back to your art practice. A teacher, Meredith Blackburn, one time said to my class when we were asking about like, oh, but what if I want to make this work or this work? And she was just like, oh, you wouldn't get funding for that. She was like, well, actually, you can make whatever you want. It just depends whether you want to get paid or not.
I know a couple of artists who someone came clean to me a while ago, someone who does get funding, and I'm not going to say who they are. They were saying that they would get together with some of their collaborators, write a grant application that had nothing to do with anything that they were going to make. And then get the grant and then make what they want once the money was there.
Yeah. I think when I came out of uni, I graduated into the COVID life. We were all a bit lost of what to do, but maybe I'm good at grant writing, but just managed to get like quite a few grants back to back.
Well done. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was like very exciting, but it was also like this huge thing of, what do I do now? You've got that like mini approval, but then you're like, wait, do I actually want this? Like, do I have something that's important enough to say? So yeah, I've changed between when I'm like dancing for myself, making art to make money, making art to have interesting collaborative relationships. And I think I'm moving away from the pressure for that to need to pay my bills. Mm. And sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Mm. But I'm starting to like value enjoying it more than I am valuing making money off it. And that may change. Who knows?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think there's that thing that's come up in every interview so far of like, we're not really here to make money. We're here,
yeah, right,
you know, for other reasons, and the money is kind of the ideal. But I mean, look, there probably are dance artists out there that are here to make money. But yeah, it's because it's so difficult, I think, to make money. Like, if that was your main value, you wouldn't be around for long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm just looking at the time. I feel like we don't have time for much more. Is there anything else you wanna add, Hayley? Anything to share with our viewers?
anything to share? I guess just like an underpinning thing that I like about the ability to use the body as well as a mode, coming back to the relationship it has with the audience, is the ability to watch a body exerting itself in space, and just the natural functions of a body, whether it be it's starting to sweat or it's warming up. The performability and the viewability of those things is what I'd like my audiences to notice, more than whether they think it was really hard. Yeah. Really hard or really impressive. Because that doesn't tell you much. But like, what did you actually notice when you watch? And which, like, on a core, we all have bodies. Which parts of that do you experience in your own body?
Beautiful. Well, Hayley, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Fickle Juice. It's been amazing to have you and hear all your wonderful stories.
Yeah, sensational thank hearing you. About your practice and all the the thought process behind audience performer relationship and empathy. Really looking forward to seeing your durational piece at
thank you.
Yeah, you mentioned Take 22, which for those of you at home is the Emerging Choreographers Programs. We're taking over Dance House over the weekend. So if you're listening to this, I don't know, 5 years from when it's being recorded, as opposed to when it's being launched in a week. That's just a little bit of what we'll be up to soon. And Hayley is one of the sensational dance artists that we'll be presenting as part of that program. Thanks, Hayley.
Thanks, Hayley.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Do I leave?